just to tell you a little bit about myself, I am a life coach, trainer, and business developer. I'm doing these Heart to Heart Live with Cindy White shows and dealing with different issues that we face as just in our personal and professional development. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'll be talking about today is from trials to triumph. And I know personally and professionally, I think everybody has those stories. Yes. So hopefully we can relate a little bit. And I am a Christian. And so I always want to bring the Lord into what we do and what I do. And it the Bible always has something to say about life and what we're dealing with today. So I will start off with the scripture and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, sounds great.
So, okay. Well, I know this is being recorded, so anybody else that wants to come in, they can see this. But I'm just going to go ahead and get started. The scripture that I want to start with is found in Genesis 50, verse 20, and it says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." And of course, this is the story of Joseph. And if you're familiar with the story of Joseph, you know, Joseph was a dreamer. And he's known as a dreamer or the brother that was a favored brother, the coat of many colors. He was given that coat, and I think his brothers were probably really jealous of him because of that, and his father favored him. And so, as the story goes, and you're probably familiar with it, his brothers really despised him because he had dreams, and he told his brothers about the dreams that he had, and what that meant for him was that he was going to rule over them. Of course, this is a baby brother that is telling all the brothers that he's going to rule over them. And of course they thought, you know, that was ridiculous and everything. And so what happened is they ended up, without going into all the details of the story, they ended up throwing him in a pit. And then they thought, you know, let's just, we have another opportunity here. Let's sell him, mm-hmm. As a slave. And so he ended up being a slave, sent to Egypt. And lived in Potiphar's house as a slave, became just a great worker. He did what he knew to do as he grew and served his master and then Potiphar's wife. She accused him of having ill intentions towards her. And of course, that ended up being put in prison. And he was left there in prison. It doesn't say how long, but then he was forgotten. And the cupbearer and the baker, I believe it was, they had dreams. Of course, Joseph was familiar with dreams. And so God gave him the ability to interpret the dreams that these two had, and they both came true. One was killed and one was set back in his place and in Pharaoh's palace, basically, and then he was forgotten. And so, lo and behold, the king had a dream that he couldn't get anybody to interpret, and the cupbearer or the baker, I can't remember who it was now, that remembered him, the one that lived, remembered, oh yeah, I know this guy. This guy that's in prison, he interpreted my dream. And here I am today because of this dream. And so, of course, long story short, he comes and he interprets the king's dream. And the king gave him the second position next to him of all of his kingdom to rule and be over the kingdom, which was a divine appointment. It was a divine appointment because what happened is God set him up to be in the position that he was for such a time as this. And he was able to be in that position where the whole land, not only Egypt, but Israel and all the nations, they were in a famine. And they had stored food for 7 years so that they had enough food to be able to supply everybody with food. And of course, the brothers come to get food, as you know. And what happens? is they meet their brother that they thought had been killed. And yet God used that whole experience in Joseph's life to be able to save many, many people. So it was a divine reversal. What trial Joseph faced was actually a triumph that was just amazing. Mm-hmm. And who could have ever thought that would have happened but God? God totally set him up. And so you probably have your own stories, as many of us do, of God's divine reversals, and where you think that something has happened that is just absolutely tragic, tremendous. Maybe you've had some bad news and that just it ends up getting worse. Here, Joseph was put in prison and then he was forgotten. And it was first he was sold into slavery. That was bad. Then he was put in prison and it just got worse. And then he was forgotten. It got worse. It's like sometimes we feel like that. It's like we're as low as we can get, and yet it gets lower. It gets worse. The trial is as bad as it seems to be, and yet there's something else. In our own family, in fact, a couple of months ago on my February live that I did here, I had my son Jeremy, I interviewed him, and he had his own trial to deal with that got worse. He ended up being literally on the top of the mountain. I mean, he climbed many, many mountains, and many meaning Mount Rainier. He's climbed Mount Rainier. He has climbed Mount McKinley, I believe. Maybe not that one, but anyway, yeah, I think maybe that one. Anyway, he's climbed a lot of mountains, and he's a mountain climber. He's a world traveler. He was really just fit as can be. And as a result of apologize for the phone call, I didn't turn my phone off. Anyway, answer machine will get it in a minute. So sorry about that. Anyway, what happened though is he ended up going into the hospital for a knee surgery that was just a work-related injury. And 2.5 years later, ended up having to have a heart transplant. So he went in for knee surgery, found out he had end-stage heart failure, which actually the knee surgery saved his life because this was exposed. He could have been climbing one of these mountains or in a different country because he flew a lot and he just was an adventurer. He could have been one of those that just dropped dead of a heart attack. But his knee surgery was just what God had allowed to happen in order for him to discover that he had this heart problem. So anyway, when things seemed to not get or be as bad as they got, he did have a heart transplant 2.5 years later. And during the surgery, he has a stroke. So what was bad ended up being a whole lot worse. And what happened after that, with his stroke, he couldn't talk. He lost all the movement in his right side. He was 31 years old at the time that the first surgery happened. So now he's like 35. And he was mad at God. He was devastated. And here he can't even talk. He can't even communicate. But what happened during that, he went through the rehabilitation time, and he's able to walk and use all of his right side. Everything came back, which was just really amazing, through a lot of physical therapy and speech therapy. And so his speech therapy has allowed him to come June 12th, which is right around the corner, to be able to say his own wedding vows because he's getting married. So we're really, really excited about that. So when life seems to get really, really bad, it can get worse. But God has a plan and completely raised him up, given him somebody to love him where he's at. And we're really, really excited about that. And yet his journey has been very, very difficult. And it's been difficult for everybody. I mean, our whole family and friends that have walked through this with him, you know, it's been really hard. We have another daughter. Her name is Tiffany. She's Jeremy's younger sister. And she and her husband, they decided, you know, when I think of Joseph the dreamer, I think of Tiffany and Jared, her husband, because they had a dream. And their dream was to be able to move to Hawaii. They had just gotten married. And Jared actually lost his job. And I thought, you know, if there's any time in my life that we can move to Hawaii, let's do it now. Let's just start over. So they did. And of course, everybody, kind of like Joseph's brothers, they weren't that mean, but they were, they basically said, you know, why would you want to do that? It's so expensive there, and never thought they could do it. And yet they dared to dream. And they kept faithful to God. And God gave them an amazing experience, amazing memories. Jared opened up a scuba diving business in Hawaii. Tiffany got a job right away at the Cheesecake Factory, the largest in the world, the most toppin' in Hawaii, and met all kinds of people, had wonderful experiences. Of course, we got to go for a three-week vacation, so that was really good for mom and dad, you know. But through all of the daring to dream, they just did it. They did it. And yet, and actually when they came back, they wanted a memory of their whole experience in Hawaii. And so they both have tattoos, and Tiffany says, "Dare to Dream." And it's the Hawaiian Islands. And so here, you know, they did something that's so risky, and through Jeremy's ups and downs in life, and also Tiffany's and Jared's experiences, because of social media, people are watching. People are looking to see how people are, you know, how they're living, how they're doing, and we're excited and kind of living life through my kids, believe it or not. In many ways, you know, we watch somebody else and we are challenged, because when they do something that is unbelievable, then we get excited about it, or we just, you know, kind of roll our eyes and think, oh my goodness, how could they ever do that? That's just the scariest, most impossible thing ever. And yet, if God gives you a dream, you just go for it. And in Jeremy's situation, we had so many people praying for him all over the world, because everybody knew through social media what he was going through. And yet, all of the experiences of mountain climbing and traveling. I mean, my son ran with the bulls in Spain. I mean, doing wild and crazy things like that. And yet people are kind of living their lives, you know, kind of encouraged to do things that they never thought they would, you know, possibly do. So I tell you all that to say that, you know, getting back to Tiffany and Jared and their dream, they had come home from Hawaii and they knew they wanted to start a family. And God spoke specifically to Tiffany, who is the dreamer, okay, said, God spoke to her and said, "Will you trust me for your family?" And she said, "Of course, I'll trust you for my family," you know. And she thought she'd just get pregnant right away. Didn't happen. And there were about, I think, three and a half years went by and didn't happen. And she's at the age where all of her friends were getting married and having children. And so she lived this life of grief and despair and loneliness and heartache. And the trials that she was facing, she couldn't even talk about, because so many people didn't understand, because they were so excited about their baby being born. Her sister, younger sister, even got pregnant while she was going through this. You know, and here Tiffany is just devastated because she trusted God. She said, "Yes, of course, I'll trust you for my family." So they went through the whole in vitro process and didn't work the first time. The second time it worked, after thousands of dollars later. And we have two twin granddaughters today, because Tiffany kept pursuing the trust that she had in God, that God was going to give her that family. And if it meant through in vitro twins, you know, this is the open door that God had opened for her. And lo and behold, after she had the baby, she ended up getting pregnant all on her own, and she's due to have a baby this summer. So we're very, very excited about that. But the reason I tell you all that is we go through life And we have challenges, we have dreams, we have heartaches and hopes, and things don't turn out the way that we expect. That, okay, we trusted God for this. We have surrendered our lives to the Lord and given everything we can to the God who we love. And yet, has God let us down? Has God failed us when things don't turn out the way we thought? Joseph, did he ask those kind of questions? Did God fail him? God gave him a dream, a couple dreams actually, when he was like 17. Right? Did God fail Joseph? And yet we know the end of the story, that God hadn't failed him at all. God had set him up for divine reversal, not only for his family, for his nation, but also, even if you think about it in business of the day, he was the most successful businessman in the land. He had everything at his disposal. And yet, God had set up the whole thing. One thing I want to point out about Joseph is that Joseph did the next right thing. Sometimes we don't know what to do. We're in this place of despair and hopelessness, and yet God just wants us to take one more step. Do the next right thing. What is that next right thing for you? In fact, Brian, I'm sure that you have things in your life right now that you're facing, you know, as we all do. You wouldn't be here if you hadn't. And if you want to, you know, put any comments in the chat, feel free to do that. But there are always things that, you know, whether it's questioning God about what is happening in our life or feeling like we're at the end of our rope, what is the next right thing that you can do? And the other question is, who is waiting for you to do that next right thing? You know, in Tiffany's situation, the next right thing for her was to go through the whole in vitro process. And the first time failed, and they didn't even know if they could do it the second time because financially it was a lot of money for a young couple. And they just knew that they had to try no matter what it cost them, no matter if it was at the expense of failure, they had to try one more time. You know, they did the next right thing, and that was the very thing that God used to allow us to enjoy our two wonderful grandbabies, granddaughters. They're 2.5 now. And they're just as sweet as can be. And, you know, for Joseph, the next right thing was he found himself as a slave in Potiphar's home. And he did the next right thing in just being the best slave, being faithful to God and faithful to what he'd been given. You know, whatever that is for you, Brian, you've been given things that you can do, the next right thing. And there are always people, whether it's your family, your friends, coworkers, that are waiting for you to do that next right thing. Joseph's family and all of the nations were waiting for Joseph. He didn't realize it, and we don't realize it. We're waiting for Joseph to be the best servant in Potiphar's house, to be the best faithful person that would interpret those dreams. That was the next right thing, was to interpret the dreams that these two prisoners had. He didn't have to do that. He could have been angry with God. He could have been just hopeless and feeling this sense of despair and just want to give up. Many people are in that place. They just want to give up. And so they don't do that next right thing. But there are people expecting us to do that next right thing. People are counting on you, Brian, to do that next right thing. You know, whatever that is. It could be for the saving of many, many people. We just don't know what that is. There could be a divine reversal because of that next right thing. And so we think about these stories, you know, they're really wonderful to have the memories of. And even with Jeremy right now, he's getting married. And that's just an amazing story in itself, because he was at a place where didn't think it was going to happen. But God had a plan. God always has a plan. His plan is for our the purpose for us is to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a future and a hope. And that's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans for a future and a hope. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of remembering some of the things that God has done for us, where he has gone before us and prepared the way for us, where he has always been there. He's never left us, and he never will. And remembering the things that God has done is what helps us to stay firm, doing the next right thing, because he always has a plan for us.